And now, your go-to source for year-round fantasy hockey advice, DFS and betting coverage. This is NHL Fantasy on Ice, presented by Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL.
The Great Chase has reached its great conclusion, brought to you by our good friends over at Skip. It's time for another episode of NHL Fantasy on Ice, Week 25, Waiver Wire Edition. Nick Elberg and Jake Hahn with you. What's going on, Jake?
What a weekend in the NHL it was, Nick. The Blues add another win. We'll get into the long Blues win streak. Obviously, the lead story, the Great Chase, and Ovechkin doing it in dramatic fashion. So I guess we could send Gretzky back to the golf course. This episode is brought to you by Skip. Skip to the good part and get groceries, meals, and essentials delivered right to your door on Skip.
I won't lie. I had the Ovechkin hat trick Friday night teed up plus 1,900, and the guy didn't want to get on the ice for the empty net. And that took a bit out of me.
I think we were all curious how the end of that game was going to play out once he got to two. I don't think anybody would have faulted him for the empty netter on home ice, Nick, right? Do it in front of the home crowd. Okay, you tied it with a legit goal. So ultimately, he made his decision. He still got some chances late in that game, too, with the goaltender back in. I think he ripped like three or four shots, couldn't get it. And then he teased it up for the Sunday drama at UBS. And I thought, well done by everybody there, the league, stopping the game, putting on that whole ceremony in the middle of the game. Ovechkin, Gretzky, class act right across the board, Nick. So I got to give credit to Meany. I know Meany's coming up for On the Money. He called it on last Monday's show. He said Ovi's going to do it this week with some good matchups. So full credit to Meany's dramatic fashion and a lot of fun to watch Ovi do that this week.
It was, and not to mention, first time beating Ilya Sorokin in his career, but just the theater surrounding the goal from his office on the power play. Love the mic'd up portion, the celebration, the ceremony. I was even chuckling, like, this could be a bigger celebration than when he won the Stanley Cup. I don't know if you caught it. He was back in D.C. on Sunday night. His friends threw him a party. It's just beginning for this guy.
What did you think about the, like, NHL 25 on the stomach celebration from Alex Ovechkin for the goal? I think it just kind of happens organically in that moment. You don't plan anything like that, right? So he went for that, which I thought was pretty funny, and would have been pretty cool to be in on that goal as well. Strome, Tom Wilson, a piece of history. Even Sorokin, I think in the moment, yeah, you don't want to give up the goal and be the goaltender that's living on highlights for years and years, but you're still a part of history. I think there is something cool to that, and this is best case scenario for the Washington Capitals, Nick. They've kind of actually been struggling quietly amongst all this lately. They get the record out of the way. They have a few games left in the season. They have a chance now to get Ovechkin some rest if they want to down the stretch, which was the perfect scenario.
Well, I was going to talk about the great hangover and the potential of that. The Montreal Canadiens looming. That race in the Eastern Conference was something, I guess. Montreal grabbed it, credit to them, but they deserve to be in that spot. For me, it's finished. I think the Habs are in, and I think they're going to put the fear of life in the Washington Capitals in the first round if that ends up being the first round matchup. But that is sort of the bigger story for me from a team perspective, is Washington's really, really been struggling. Then they go out on Sunday, they lose to one of the worst teams in the league, in the New York Islanders. With all due respect to Pete Jensen, that team has not been playing well. They traded half their team. Declare's not there. You got to win that game, and nobody's really talking about that, Jake.
Well, and there's been a few concerning losses for Washington lately, right? They gave up that eight goals against Buffalo about a week ago or so. There's been some results that we just haven't seen from them, and I do think a lot of that is related to what's been going on. The oxygen, everybody's just looking to get Ovi the puck, and it's all everybody's talking about. So again, I think this times out perfectly, right? If this bled to the last couple games of the season, we're still talking about it, it's still the story. Now they can just celebrate, put it behind them, say, you know what, it's been a great season, we got Ovi the record, now we actually have a little bit of time to turn this thing around and get tuned up for playoff hockey, right? Whether that's getting some veteran players like Ovechkin some rest, or just getting back to playing that Capitals hockey, Nick, that we've seen them play all year. And you're right, Montreal, if that is indeed the matchup and it's looking like that's the likelihood in the first round, not going to be an easy matchup, especially those games at the Bell Center, not something Washington can overlook in the first round.
Definitely not. You can't flip that script, and we'll see if it happens here from the Washington perspective. But I even thought, like, we always talk about this every year, this time with 2 weeks remaining, for those of you in fantasy leagues that go deep into the end of the regular season, until the end of the regular season, I think there's a pretty good shot here. Just getting back to your point, Ovechkin, load management is going to be a thing down the stretch. Like, he's gotten the record now. I think you got to be very smart with his deployment here.
Well, and I think it's a reason, you play in a lot of fantasy leagues, Nick, I think it's a reason why you'd you'd like generally your finals to end by the point we're talking, like this past week being the last week of your final. I know some leagues run 2 week finals, which I don't mind as well, but you get into these situations late in the year where some of your best players just aren't playing. And I don't blame teams for resting players, Nick. I'm not a big load management guy, specifically in how the NBA does it, where, okay, yeah, we're just not going to play back to backs all season long. We don't have that in the NHL. Luckily, guys are playing all season, but I do think once you get to this point of the year, if you've got your sights set on winning a Stanley Cup, winning 16 games, you should try to get these guys a little bit of rest, especially someone like Ovi, you know, that's pushing 40. So, you know, good for Ovi, Nick. It was fun to watch. I think a great moment for the league for him to be able to get a couple, tie the record on home ice on Friday, and then ultimately win it on Sunday with the whole hockey world watching.
They're going to start calling him Paul Load Management Maurice in Florida because he benched half his roster against Detroit on Sunday.
What's happening
now, suddenly Suddenly, they might not be in a 2-3 position in the Atlantic Division, which is surprising considering the opponent coming up potentially in a couple weeks here in the Toronto Maple Leafs. But for everything as cold as maybe the Capitals in general, the St. Louis Blues, maybe that story has been buried a bit because of the great chase, but they've won 12 straight games now. Last loss, March 13th, 5-3 at Pittsburgh. This week's schedule, they got Winnipeg tonight, in Edmonton Wednesday, in Seattle Saturday, but this has been a crazy, crazy run for the St. Louis Blues here, Jake.
There were two stories I didn't think got enough play or weren't getting enough play because of Ovechkin. It was the Blues win streak and Cale Makar scoring 30 goals from the back end for the first time since Mike Green. I feel like nobody was really talking about it as much as we would have been in a normal year. But now that the Ovi chase is behind us, I think we can focus on some other things. And the Blues have been incredible, Nick. I know you sprinkled a little bit on, like, 100-1 the ticket for the Blues.
Plus 10,000.
Yeah, well, and we talked about them. I think they were 45-1 last week, which I still felt like was kind of a decent number. So I'm curious Meany's take when we get to On the Money. But I actually do think, especially if they get over to this Pacific side of the bracket, that this team has a legitimate path to make some noise. Like, they've gone from just being a good story that's going to make the playoffs to, I actually think this team is built to win playoff games, Nick. I don't know if you feel differently, but they're peaking at the right time. They've got the goaltender that's played in big games before. Why not St. Louis as a team that could legit make some noise in the West?
Look, it would scare the hell out of me to play a team that's been playing playoff hockey for like 2 months now. And that's exactly when you look at Montreal, you look at the St. Louis Blues. Since March 14th, when this run started, there's been some guys who have been on fire, but I crunched the numbers. There's five specific players who have really guided this team offensively. Robert Thomas has 23 points in that stretch. Kyrou's got 15. Dylan Holloway, who's now week to week, has 15 points. Cam Fowler has been such a great addition from the Anaheim Ducks, has 13 points. And Jake Neighbors, 12 points. But I think in general, to your point, the Blues are a very scary team from a fantasy perspective. Jimmy Snuggerud, only a couple games into his NHL career, got the promotion already, playing on the top line with Buchnevich and Thomas, and on PP once, something to look for moving forward here.
Unfortunate about Holloway, because he had been going, he'd been great in the prop market too, whether it's a point, shots on goal, whatever it might be, playing heavy minutes in that top six for St. Louis. So week to week, this time of the year, Nick, is a little bit concerning because we're not far away from the playoffs. So you hope he's ready to go game one of the postseason. Is it as simple as Snuggerud just gets a little bit more opportunity, moves up in that lineup? Is there anybody else you're looking at to maybe get a bump here in St. Louis with that Holloway news?
Not really, because like Carolina, we talk about this a lot, they spread the wealth. And so they're perfectly fine playing a guy on the fourth line or the third line or the second line or the first line. It doesn't matter. And it's more about like the team game as opposed to like the specific player. So no, I think Snuggerud's going to be that guy. Anybody in mind for you?
Well, no, I think he's the immediate guy you look to, because when he first came in, he played, what, I think it was 10 minutes in his first game. The opportunity just really wasn't there for him. And now with, you know, one of the top players, one of the top forwards hurt, that just opens up more opportunity. So I think he's who I would look to. There's so many other guys that are going in that offense right now, Nick. And I mentioned it, the fact that they've been able to pass Minnesota and possibly get into that Pacific side of the bracket, I think means so much. Not to say, I mean, Vegas would be a brutal matchup still in the first round. And the winner of LA Edmonton, no slouch either. But I think I would take my chances with that side of the bracket. Then I'm going to go through Winnipeg and then the winner of Colorado and Dallas myself. So the fact that St. Louis could possibly avoid all those central teams until a conference final, that's making them a very enticing option for me in the playoffs.
I cannot wait for the first round of the Stanley Cup playoffs, and rest assured there's going to be some really good teams that don't advance to round two. And Maybe one of them is the Edmonton Oilers. Leon Draisaitl hurt again. This is what their top six looks like from over the weekend. They lose to Los Angeles. Podkolzin, Nugent Hopkins, Arvidsson, who's been red hot as of late. Trent Frederick makes his debut for the Oilers. Henrique's centering line too. Zach Hyman. There's a lot of question marks, I think, with this Oilers team right now, Jake, and it's fair.
Well, tons of question marks. And Leon and Connor are number one, but even goaltending going into the playoffs, yeah. Are they going to be healthy? Are they going to be good enough? I mean, Stuart Skinner wasn't even playing well beforehand. Defensive question marks. It's not just one thing, which is why I'm very concerned about this team going to the playoffs. If it was one issue, one injury, okay, no problem. They'll be fine. But there's a bit of a list piling up here for Edmonton, and we're only a week and a half away from getting this thing underway. So in terms of guys to step up in that lineup, Nick, we saw it without Leon and Connor. Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, I thought, was actually very impressive in that time. So I'd expect him to kind of go back into that role. Victor Arvidsson's a guy I would look at just to get more minutes, a guy that's never been afraid to shoot the puck and fire. So maybe we look at some Arvidsson props. Jeff Skinner, it's just been too up and down for me this year. So Arvidsson's a guy I think I'd look to this week.
In general, a rash of injuries around the NHL. We could start with Svechnikov in Carolina. I think Jackson Blake's a guy I would pick up there. I've said this 3,000 times in this podcast, but John Gibson, day-to-day lower body injury. I don't know what they're going to do with Gibson. I know teams want him. I know Carolina was sniffing around. I just don't know how you make that trade. The guy is never healthy, Jake. It's insane to me.
He isn't. I mean, I think at some point we just got to end the Gibson in Anaheim charade. You know, if we're going to do this dance, and Dostal has been really solid at times throughout the course of the year. Clearly, he looks like the younger, possibly better goaltender of the future there in Anaheim. And Gibson can't stay healthy for a full season. So that's something I think that the Ducks are going to need to address moving forward. But we said it on last week's episode. I'm still, despite a couple of bad results recently for Anaheim, I'm still very bullish on what this roster can do next year. Not putting them in the playoffs by any means, but I think from a fantasy perspective, a team that maybe we can attack with some value in fantasy drafts going into next year, because I still think people will sleep on the Ducks. And at the very least, I have faith in that offense taking a bit of a step next season.
Meantime, Martin Natchez misses a game over the weekend. Arturi Lehkonen's a guy I would pick up in favor of him. Jonathan Marchessault so banged up for Nashville. Michael Bunting's a guy I think internally to look at. Nikolai Ehlers with the Winnipeg Jets got a foot problem day-to-day. Nino Niederreiter, internal replacement option. And Alexi Protas now week-to-week with the Capitals. Ryan Leonard is a guy I streamed over the weekend. Scores that empty net goal for his first NHL tuck on Friday night.
Yeah, he kind of stole the show from Ovi for a moment there, right? Everybody was on Ovechkin watch and thinking he's going to get the hat trick. Now, it was Ovi's choice. He said, I don't want it. And it actually kind of worked out perfect. Ovi doesn't get his empty netter. Ryan Leonard gets a chance to get his first NHL goal with a lot more eyeballs watching, by the way, than your normal, you know, Caps regular season game. The whole hockey world tuned in to see Ryan Leonard deposit that. Actually, as empty netters go too, Nick, not a cheapie. He earned that one. He makes a nice little play at his own blue line and then goes down and takes it in. So you see the skill, the speed of this player. We've seen the physicality as well. I'm very bullish on what Ryan Leonard could be heading into the postseason for Washington. I know the numbers aren't there in terms of goals and assists right now, but eye test, he looks like he's going to be a good player in this league for years to come.
You never know. He could win you a fantasy title as well. April 7th to 13th, 55 games. So buckle up. Lots of hockey this week. 5 on Monday, 10 Tuesday, 5 Wednesday, 10 on Thursday, 5 Friday, 11 Saturday, 9 on Sunday, the 4-game teams to look at. By the way, everybody plays at least 3 times, so think about that. Anaheim, Buffalo, Calgary, Carolina, Colorado, Columbus, Edmonton, the Islanders, Rangers, San Jose, Seattle, Tampa, Toronto, Winnipeg. So 14 teams, Jake, 4-game teams.
I think San Jose is a fun team to look at right now. You know, just playing loose end of the season. Okay, everybody just looking to maybe pad the stats a little bit and go into the offseason with some positive vibes. And they've got guys that are very low owned across the board, right? You could look to the two Wills, Will Smith. Will Eklund, I think, is the sneakier of the two Wills, right? He's just kind of been solid all situations player for them all season. I like the doom and gloom angle this time of the year, Nick, looking at those teams that are just completely cooked.
NHL.com/fantasy week 25 waiver wire edition and options. Pete Jensen, we bring you in. Your initial thoughts on the great chase concluding and Ryan Leonard being on this week's list, right?
Yeah, man. Ryan Leonard's going to have a huge role down the stretch, especially if they sit Ovi with Protas out. I know Charlie Lindgren's being streamed left and right. Some shaky results, but I mean, these are the guys that are going to catch the baton and carry it over the finish line, and then they're going to get to the playoffs. I expect them to sit a number of these guys down the stretch, and that means good opportunities ahead. Even for a guy like Connor McMichael, I would get back in on him. But what a scene. And I thought the Islanders and Ilya Sorokin handled it with the utmost class, and that made producer Phil Constantino extremely proud.
Yeah, the Islanders got a lot of love there, as they should. I thought the NHL and the Islanders did a good job kind of putting that all together, and I was wondering what was going to go into it. So it was fun. It was a giant love-in and stopped the game for a while. And, hey, the Islanders get 2 points. Phil Constantino, producer Phil, knows they're still in it. Run the table. Maybe the Islanders can pull off the unthinkable here. Go ahead, Pete.
Yeah, I actually also wanted to pose the question to you guys, because we did a nice piece on NHL.com/fantasy for anyone that's been playing fantasy pucks for a long time. We made the case for Alex Ovechkin to be the best fantasy player of all time. I know that Gretzky still leads NHL history in assists and points and power play points, but Ovi's third all-time in hits, Nick. He's got the goal record. He's got the power play goal record, the shots on goal record as well, the game-winning goals record. So it's a nice little debate here after he broke the record.
Yeah, even thinking like 20 years ago when I owned Ovechkin in fantasy hockey, the hits, the shots on goal, the goals, like he just, the category coverage was so elite, Jake.
It has been his whole career, right? I think one thing I would add is the consistency every single year. I think he had maybe one year where we all took him like first or second overall, and he kind of disappointed a little bit. Outside of that, it's just steady. It's consistent. It's always 50 goals, always the hits, the shots on goal are always there as well. And who knows? Who knows how long he wants to keep doing this? Guy's still playing at an elite level, wants to do it for another couple of years. I don't think anybody would fault him, and I'm still ready to fire him up in my fantasy lineups, Pete.
It's amazing, Nick, that this guy last year at 38 had the worst goals per game average of his career, and then this year has the fifth best goals per game average of his career at age 39. I mean, what a turnaround. Even just dating back to last year, this thing was kind of in question to some extent, right?
Give him the Hart Trophy. Give him everything. But I'm serious, and we'll get to Chris Meany coming up about the first-round matchup with Montreal. I think the Caps are in trouble. I really, really do. I don't like the way that team is playing. I think there's going to be a massive hangover that comes from this, and the Montreal Canadiens just don't lose, and they're just so locked in right now. I think it's going to be an awesome, fun series. Pete, getting back to the waiver wire here, Carolina's a team we're looking at this week, a four-game team. Jackson Blake was the guy I've been streaming quite a bit the last couple of weeks here.
I like Blake a lot. Meany does as well for the shot props and, you know, some of the sneaky goal props. He's playing in an elevated role. Remember, like, they're kind of still reeling to an extent after losing Nietzsche and then having to trade Mikko Rantanen. But, like, really, a lot of these guys have stepped up by committee, and Jackson Blake is near the top of that list for me. He's quietly a rookie. He's, like, top five among rookies in goals this season, and low-key has just been shooting the puck, even in a lot of losses. So I think that fantasy-wise, he's a must-roster player down the stretch of the season. And another one of those guys, I don't think he's going to be resting. You got to be wary of who might be resting among some of the veteran players. Some of these guys like Jackson Blake are just looking to get more and more reps down the stretch.
Pete, we've talked a lot the last couple of weeks about the life we're seeing out in Anaheim, but one player we haven't mentioned too much, like we've talked about McTavish and some of these guys, Lacombe on the back end that are going, Trevor Zegras pops up on your list this week. You're seeing a little bit of life in that file out in Anaheim.
Right. Yeah, it's good to see. I mean, he kind of fell off the map completely. I mean, we were so high on that player from his flair and everything like that past couple of years. He's actually up to 12 points in his past 14 games, 16 in his past 22. He's playing with Mason McTavish, who has been arguably the fantasy hockey playoff MVP, with all due respect to James Reimer, guys. But yeah, McTavish has been a beast. And Zegras is a part of that young core with Lacombe and all those other guys, Cutter Gauthier and Leo Carlson, right, that we love so much moving forward. So hopefully he can make it kind of like a reclamation of his career and stay relevant in fantasy moving forward.
Yeah, it's a really good point. Again, we've talked quite a bit the last little while about teams down the stretch. And a guy I've really liked down the stretch who has bounced around, Pete, the last couple of years is Andre Kuzmenko, but seems to have found a home here in Los Angeles, hasn't he?
He has, and he was productive with the Flyers as well, 5 points in 7 games, and now he's up to 11 in 16 games and really heating up of late. I like the usage in the top six. The Kings, not a lot of people are talking about him other than Jake Hahn. I know on the previous couple of shows, he's buying back in. Like, the Kings have a top five team save percentage, that usual trademark possession style. Keep an eye for the fantasy playoffs on Drew Doughty. I know he left the game early over the weekend. Could still play on Monday, so don't bench him or drop him just yet. But I feel like the Kings' forward depth, especially with this addition of Andre Kuzmenko, has reached another level and a level greater, maybe or equal to the Vegas Golden Knights, and definitely greater than the Edmonton Oilers right now with all their problems.
Yeah, Pete, I'm ready to get hurt again by the LA Kings. Everything just is lining up too perfectly for them right now. I know they're going to be stuck 2-0 early, and I'm just going to be like, what did I do? What did I get myself into? But hey, sometimes you got to go with your gut, and I'm going to go with my gut in this situation, at least as it stands right now. We just talked Ducks, and again, we've talked a lot of Ducks over the last couple of weeks. How about a former Duck in Cam Fowler that seems like he's found a nice spot for himself in St. Louis?
Yeah, we've talked about him a number of times on this show since the trade and playing on power play one, racking up assists. He's been red hot lately. The St. Louis Blues, just to echo what you guys talked about earlier, you could even just dig deeper and go Cam Fowler on the blue line. He's not even 20% rostered, so he might be out there in some leagues. Snuggerud, we mentioned it, back-to-back games with an assist. This guy was amazing with Minnesota with 51 points in 40 games this season and the usage that Nick talked about. And then Zach Bolduc, another guy we've been beating the drum on for over a month now. He's up to 10 goals in 18 games since March 1st. That leads all NHL rookies, you know, name them all. I mean, he's ahead of them over that stretch. So, like, these are guys that you need to prioritize in fantasy during your championship round.
How about in the crease? Any jewels here?
It's got to be James Reimer with Buffalo. I mean, it makes no sense. This team does it every year. You call it every single year, Nick. When the games don't matter, they look like the hottest team or one of the couple hottest teams in the league. But James Reimer has been playing much better than UPL, and I expect him to get a number of starts and also some victories down the stretch of the season. Buffalo still technically not eliminated, but they probably will be in the next game or two. But he's been playing with a lot of heart down the stretch. Also, Anton Forsberg. No more back-to-backs for Ottawa the rest of the season, but I expect him to still get another start or two as they look to rest. Remember with the injury problems this year of Ullmark, very quietly and low-key, very impressive. The Ottawa Senators lead the entire NHL in team shutouts this season with 10, with 4 from Ullmark, 3 from Marilainen, who held down the fort in his absence, and then Anton Forsberg got his 3rd shutout of the season the other day. Pretty impressive stuff.
Back-to-back shutouts for Linus Ullmark and the Ottawa Senators, another scary team I would not like to play in the first round. NHL.com/fantasy for your entire Week 25 waiver wire list. It's now time for On the Money, brought to you by Bet365. It's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 or older. Ontario only. Please play responsibly. If you or someone you know has concerns about gambling, visit ConnexOntario.ca. As you bring in the one and only Chris Meany, Means, just get your reaction first and foremost to the great chase in Ovechkin passing Gretzky here. How's it going?
Hey, what's going on, fellas? Happy Monday. That was awesome, right? I mean, we're all waiting for it to happen, but the way that it happened on the power play, left circle, I thought the celebration was fantastic. Jake, I was in stitches when you were talking about NHL 25 dive. It was just, it was phenomenal, right? And to do it in New York against his rivals, a road stadium with everybody chanting Ovi, 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 I thought it was great, and you guys have all touched on it throughout the show. We've been hitting on this really all year long. For him to have the highest shooting rate of his career this season, broke his leg and missed time this year and scoring at an absolute elite pace is so fun to watch, and yeah, it was phenomenal to see yesterday.
It was awesome, Means, and you called it on the Monday show last week. What a call, right? I think me and Nick asked you, like, okay, what game are we eyeing up for him to break it? Thinking maybe one of the last couple games of the season. You said, why not this week with some good matchups, right? And he fast-tracked it. He did it in dramatic fashion. He didn't want to drag Wayne and Gary and all these guys, this caravan, Backstrom, around for 3-4 games. And I think Wayne's probably happiest about it to get back to the golf course, right? True. So the other big story, though, Meany, obviously, is the St. Louis Blues probably getting overshadowed by what Ovechkin has been doing and the great chase. 12 wins in a row now, only 5 away from the record. They won't be able to get it this year because they actually only have 4 games left, so they could max out at 16 this season. But are you legit buying them as a contender going into the playoffs? Now that they look like an actual playoff team, are you buying them to actually make some noise come postseason time?
Yeah, I have been for a couple weeks. I mean, the streak that they're on may mean the Vegas Golden Knights in the first round. I kind of like them a little bit better against the Winnipeg Jets. No disrespect to Connor Hellebuck and the Jets. I would really like that matchup. It could potentially still happen. Minnesota had a big win yesterday against the Dallas Stars. But yeah, I mean, you guys have touched on it, Nick. You're talking about Snugger right away. Like, let's put this kid on the top line with Robert Thomas. Nobody's been hotter than Robert Thomas since the Four Nations break. This guy has been absolutely amazing. They have three lines that can play. They play with a lot of sandpaper, right? They throw their body around. They have that grit. They have the experience. Binnington's won big games before. You can go back before the Four Nations game against Hellebuck. You know, he has a Stanley Cup ring, and he won in Boston in Game 7. So they have a lot of nice pieces. Sometimes, Nick, you wonder if a team peaks too early, but they've been playing pretty good hockey since Jim Montgomery's taken over behind the bench. So yeah, I am buying the St. Louis Blues, and you know, if they match up against Vegas, it'll probably just be close to a pick'em in terms of the betting market.
I want to give you the platform for your Montreal Canadiens, man. They have been so outstanding. Lane Hutson's going to win the Calder Trophy. They're getting the saves. They're just so dialed in right now. Are they a good dog to back in round one here, do you think?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, 5 wins in 8 days is a pretty impressive run for them. A 6-point cushion. There was some travel there as well. And, you know, you can go back into December 17th and you'll see there's only 4 teams with more points than the Montreal Canadiens over that span. Dallas, Washington, Winnipeg, and Colorado. That's a large sample size for the Habs. And, you know, they're led by their captain. Nick Suzuki is tied for 6th in points since January 1st. He has 48 in 40 games. Only Pasternak, Kucherov, McKinnon, Draisaitl, and Robertson have more points than Suzuki over that span. Caulfield is 2nd in the NHL in 5-5 goals. Slafkovský's a point-per-game guy since the Four Nations break. So they have a really strong top line. They have 12 double-digit goal scorers. No team has more in the NHL, so they're kind of sneaky deep and pretty impressive because they're the second youngest team in the league, so they don't really know any better. They're just playing with a lot of speed. People love this. The edge stats, only Colorado has more 20-mile-per-hour speed bursts than the Habs, so they can play with anybody. They play with a lot of pace, and you mentioned Hutson solidified the Calder, and only Makar Werenski and Hughes have more points than him on the blue line, so it's a pretty impressive season for him. And what you need to upset a team is a hot goalie. Just ask the Washington Capitals, the 2009 Caps, who had a 33-point gap on the 8th-place Canadiens. They had 54 wins, Montreal's 39. And what happened? Jaroslav Halak stole the show. So Sam Montembeau is 11-2-3 with a .910 save percentage and a 2.48 goals against average since the Four Nations tournament. He's been one of the better players. And you guys have talked about it throughout, Nick, you especially. This Capitals team, you wonder the push for the Grade 8 chase. What does that mean for the rest of the team? Was that exhausting? You have Thompson, who's sidelined at the moment. Charlie Lindgren's a guy that I think Sam Montembeau could outplay him and steal a series. So Washington's extremely deep, but they're not playing great hockey at the moment. They've lost 5 of 7. So I think that ultimately that the Caps will probably win. But, Jake, I don't think it'll be easy for them. And I think Montreal is a team that's playing with a lot of confidence right now.
I was going to say, Game 3 at the Bell Center, how do you not bring Jaroslav Halak out to drop the puck, fire up the crowd a little bit, play a mock, get in the head of Washington a little bit. But, man, who's not going to love Ovechkin at this point after breaking the record, playing playoff games at the Bell Center? I mean, that's just going to be awesome to watch, regardless of how that series goes. But I agree with you. I think Montreal can give them at least a very tough series in that first round. How about what's going on in the Atlantic, Meany? I mentioned on the show last week how tight the odds were to win the Atlantic Division. Not so tight anymore. Big week for the Toronto Maple Leafs. They're now -600 favorites to win the Atlantic. 2 huge games on the road in Florida, in Tampa. If they get results there, the division is basically theirs, which would set up a Tampa-Florida, Battle of Florida first round matchup, which would obviously be awesome. Are you beginning to get a little concerned about the Panthers, or is this just a team missing so many bodies that's waiting for the playoffs to start?
Yeah, you know, if you're watching this Florida team over the past 6 weeks, and you have to feel a little concerned because they haven't played great hockey. What they're doing right now and what they did, you know, yesterday, and Nick, you joked about load management. And I think if you're Florida, you don't care who you play. You don't care where you play. It reminds me of the Cavs and LeBron James, and they were playing the Warriors in the finals all those years. They're just like, whatever, man. We'll just take whoever we play, and we'll go to the dance. And Florida's been to the finals in back-to-back years. But the biggest thing is health, right? Like, yes, they rested some players yesterday, and it sounds like they're going to rest some players moving forward. But what's the status of Matthew Tkachuk? What's the status of Alexander Barkov? Those are two key forwards that you need. I feel like this is a team that can flip the switch. And I know Leafs Nation probably sweating it right now. Like, we're finally going to win the division. And what, we're potentially going to get Florida in the first round because Ottawa's just 2 points back. I don't know if they're going to rest anybody. They may just keep riding this thing out. So they probably shouldn't be favorites, to be honest with you, just given the situation right now, health-wise. But, Nick, they are a team that I do believe can flip the switch. But let's be honest. I mean, Ekblad's a guy that's going to be away from the team until at least game three, too. So, but they're going to have the luxury, I suppose, of resting some of these guys down the stretch.
Well, that's exactly. A lot of questions with that team, but certainly we've seen it before. And just the amount of star power that's not playing right now, you would just think they come back in the lineup and they just drag you back into the fight. And so we'll see from that perspective. But, yeah, that's the unique quality of all this is, like, there's so many different variations and matchups we still could see in the Atlantic Division. Looking ahead, guys, to this week, some plays. I think the Blues win streak ends tonight. Give me Winnipeg against St. Louis and give me an Adam Henrique anytime goal or a point against his former team. He's playing in the top six right now. Means anything else you're looking at here this week?
Yeah, I like that call, too. Just want to touch on the Jets. They kind of feel like maybe if they win this game, they get that division, right? Dallas lost on home ice at Pittsburgh. They lost yesterday to Minnesota Wild. So Winnipeg can feel like, let's take care of business here on home ice and get this thing done. Nick, I want to give you some credit, too, with Kuzmenko. I know Pete's been talking about him, but you were all over this addition from the Kings. He has points in 7 of 8, 11 points over that span. He's plus 100 for a point tonight. I love the LA Kings at home, right? They're 29-4-4 against the Kraken. You could take Kempe and Kopitar over at Bet365 for a point each at plus 150. You could take that trio for a point. That's nearly 3-1. I like the Ducks at home at plus 125 against the Oilers. I just feel like they're in a bad spot right now. They really didn't generate anything over the weekend against the Kings. Mason McTavish and Trevor Zegras, two guys that we've been talking about for a while, especially Mason McTavish. But these two guys for a point, plus 225. Zegras is plus 110 for a point, guys. He got 12 points in his last 14 games. And then I heard you guys talk about Arvidsson as well. I think, Jake, you were all over Arvidsson. He's got goals in 3 of 4. He's plus 110 for a point as well. And why not ride this thing out with Kucherov? I know he's a couple points back of Nathan MacKinnon, but that's a player that I feel like wants the Art Ross Trophy. He won it last year. He can win it again. Could be his third time. He's plus money for 2 points as he faces the New York Rangers, who just look defeated at the moment.
Well, if they aren't going to vote for him for the Hart Trophy, he's got to go get the award that isn't voted on, right? It's just points. Right. Whoever gets the most points gets the award. Simple as that. No votes. And that's one Kucherov could certainly go out there and get. So I like that. Mina, you and I are very much on the same page. I love that King spot. Tonight, I actually think that line's kind of short. Play them on the puck line, maybe regulation. Anaheim as a home dog, a lot of interest. Very curious Tuesday night what the line is going to be between the Toronto Maple Leafs and the Florida Panthers in Florida with all these injury question marks players out. Are we going to actually see the Leafs as a favorite in that game? If that's the case, I might be a little interested in the Panthers as a home dog. So line dependent, but I'm going to be looking at the Leafs Panthers Tuesday night and Leafs Lightning on Wednesday night, which will obviously be a tough spot for the Leafs on a second half of a back-to-back.
Spicy, fellas. Means great job. Breaking news coming in from Bet365, where every nail-biting overtime win, breakaway, pick six, three-point shot, underdog win, buzzer beater, shootout, walk-off, and absolutely every play in between is amazing. From football to basketball and hockey to baseball, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 or older, Ontario only. Please play responsibly. If you or someone you know has concerns about gambling, visit ConnexOntario.ca. Pete, any final words here? Week 25, waiver wire edition.
Yes, just to echo what Meany was saying, you can find some serious value in the props market off of the guys that we all just talked about on the waiver wire list. So, like, look at Snuggerud. He just had points in each of his past two games. You could still get him at plus 155 for a point against the Jets, who this is a potential playoff preview. Like, I feel like the Blues are going to have a lot of motivation in this game. Bolduc as well, plus 160 for a point. And then you look at the Ducks' value of some of those guys. Like, only you could count on one hand the guys that are having a better breakout season than Jackson Lacombe of the Anaheim Ducks, and you could get him at plus 135 just to get a point. He doesn't have to score a goal. I feel like those are all great angles right now.
Lots of value, and boys, we get closer and closer to the Stanley Cup playoffs. I want to add two kudos to everybody who has won the fantasy title or closing in on a fantasy title. And I know we got the mailbag edition of Week 25 coming up on Thursday, but I think it's also a good time, Jake, to look ahead to the Stanley Cup playoffs a bit too, talk about some of the teams that have clinched already.
it's hard not to get excited. It's hard not to already start envisioning the bracket mm-hmm. and filling out, thinking, okay, where am I going to find some upsets? Are we going to see a chalky bracket like we saw in March Madness? All the one seeds making it through? I don't think so. I think we're going to see some upsets this year. We got some potential of some of these wild card teams coming in. We talked about St. Louis and how they're playing. I think things could get interesting very quickly, probably 2 or 3 days into the cup playoffs, and we're already thinking, oh boy, here we go.
And guys, just a reminder, if we helped you get this far, leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify. Send us your screenshot as long as your team name doesn't have some profanity in it. We'll retweet it with the fantasy account and we'll give you the love that you deserve. But yeah, hopefully we got you guys pretty far in the fantasy playoffs, right?
I'll put this out there. I'll retweet anything. So whatever your team's name, just yeah. We all know yeah. only Franz Nielsen's still the champion.
Name.
Yeah,
we
did the YouTube show a couple years ago, and we all know who won that. Also, make sure to check out the latest edition of NHL Unscripted at Energy Line. Thanks to producer Phil Constantino. For Jay Conn, Pete Jensen, and Chris Meany, I'm Nick Alberga. You've been listening to NHL Fantasy on Ice delivered by Skip. Skip to the good part and get groceries, meals, and essentials delivered right to your door on Skip.